This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Merry Christmas, Gary. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing great, and Merry Christmas to you. We are going to have a fun show with some great guests and some fun Christmas music. So tell us who we have joining us today.
Well, today we have Richard Planzo of KP Animal Chiropractic. He is an internationally certified animal chiropractor. Then we travel to Jamestown, Tennessee, and talk with Teresa Elam with Saddle Valley Campground.
All right. It is going to be a fun show talking with Dr. Richard, and we'll also be visiting the Big South Fork. And we want to remind folks that our show is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store and in the Christmas Shop. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store and in the Christmas Shop on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee, join us, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Richard Planzo. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And Susie Boggess with a little two-step around the Christmas tree, and Merry Christmas to you, Richard.
Yeehaw.
Well, Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank
Merry
you for
Christmas,
having me today.
Richard.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. That song put me in the Christmas spirit. That was a good way to start the show.
Well, it's a great way to start the show. And have you done all of your Christmas shopping?
I have. So I didn't procrastinate this year. I got things complete, and I'm ready for the holidays.
All right. Well, I'm still a day behind, so I've got some.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Tina Mae, I know
to the
nitty
gritty.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure you've done all of yours now.
Well, I got one more to get.
All right. Is that for a special person?
Well, they're all special.
That's a good answer. That is a good answer. Well, let's talk about chiropractic. Richard, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started into the practice of chiropractic.
Okay. So I have been a people chiropractor for about 20 years. So I knew growing up that I definitely wanted to be in the healthcare field in some capacity. I was very much into taking care of myself and trying to find ways to stay healthy and remain healthy and feel good. And doing some research, chiropractic just was a great fit for me. It promotes a lifestyle of prevention and health and wellness and, you know, taking care of yourself rather than waiting till diseases come about and manage them that way. So I have a full-time people practice, and then that has evolved over the last about 12 years to also include my four-legged patients. So I do predominantly horses, but I also do chiropractic work with dogs and some exotic animals as well.
Well, that's good.
As I mentioned, though, so it's something that I really enjoyed. The horses are something new to me. I did not grow up around horses. I wasn't on a farm. I kind of grew up in more in the urban California setting. My first experience horseback riding was through Yosemite National Forest on horseback. 4 years old, a little kid, didn't know how to control a horse. The horse was taking me through the woods, through off the trails. So that was my experience with trail riding and horseback riding, and wasn't the most fond memories, to say the least, to begin with. My parents weren't around horses. We were the family that went horseback riding in the summer, trail riding, and we were the family that was in the shorts. So you knew that we weren't true riding people. We would get off the horse and we would have raw legs and rub marks everywhere and wondered why we weren't having fun. But that certainly has changed over the years. And horses are a huge portion of my life right now. So. I really enjoy that. My wife and I spend as much time as we can with our horses, and we have the great fortune to travel around throughout Missouri, throughout Illinois, to meet with other great horse owners and are fortunate enough to work with their horses and keep them healthy and riding on the trails.
Well, that is cool. Well, now I've got to ask this question. Kelly's your wife. And,
Kelly's my wife, correct.
Did your horse activity start back up because of Kelly?
It did. So Kelly was she was the epitome of a cowgirl. She was on her first horse probably at 2-3 months of age. So she grew up with horses. Her dad was an avid rider, and so her career started at a very early age, and that continued through high school and into college, and fortunately or unfortunately, she got out of horses about the time that we met, and shortly after we got married, we got back into it, and we've been back at it ever since. So, we're busy with working with other horses, but we do try to take as much time as we can to enjoy the trails and ride and have fun with our horses as well.
Well, it's pretty interesting. It's amazing how many men have become involved with horses because of women. And
yes.
Yeah, and I keep telling guys, yep. I said, if you want to meet ladies, you need to get a horse. It's just the best way in the world to do that. But
I think that's good advice.
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I hope our listeners will find this of interest as well, and I've used equine chiropractors in the past myself. It was fairly new to me at the time, and I know Tina May has utilized your services. But for our listeners out there, what are some signs or indications that your horse might need the help of a chiropractor?
Yeah, that's a great question. We get that asked all the time. How do I know if my horse needs chiropractic or could benefit from it? And, what I tell most people is that most of our clients do, have a fairly good understanding of their horses and how they behave and so forth. But even those who aren't real familiar with it, some of the first things that we look for are just some subtle changes in behavior, attitude, maybe resisting doing something that they've done before. So, you know, if you've got a horse that that normally stands real quiet in the cross ties when you saddle them up, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of moving around and flinching and swishing their tail back and forth, you know, that might be an indication that, hey, maybe they're a little sore and maybe I need to have something looked at. Or, you know, maybe you ride a particular trail frequently and you know how the horse behaves, and, you know, they're refusing to go over a down limb or through the creek or take a hill or something. Little subtle changes are usually the first indicators that might show something is coming up. On the extreme end of things, if there's a lameness going on, you know, obviously we always recommend that you have a vet check out your horse first. But if there's nothing emergent going on and they think it might be like a structural problem that includes muscles, bones, joints, then chiropractic might be of benefit for that as well. So really, like, we like to educate our patients and clients and let them know that it's usually the subtle changes that you notice in your horse, that just their attitude or behavior has just changed and things just may not be right.
Well, I know
Yeah,
go ahead, Tina Mae.
But I was going to say, which goes to, I always tell people, know your horse. Just know your
Definitely.
Horse.
Definitely.
And that comes with time. Yes. It comes with time. It comes with being, you know, riding time, being out there with your horse, and just know your horse. It will save in a lot of situations, emergency situations, whether it's colic or something off that may need chiropractic care or veterinarian care. Just know your horse. They'll tell you.
Right. Right. That's great advice. And you're right. You know, they can't communicate with us verbally like we'd like them to sometimes. But if you look and get to know your horse, there are subtle clues that, you know, maybe they're taking a short step, or maybe, again, they're, you know, holding their head a funny way, or their tail's kind of swishing around and they just don't seem real happy, or their ears are pinned. Those might be some little subtle indicators that, you know, maybe your horse is uncomfortable or just not enjoying what you're doing right now, and that could indicate, you know, some discomfort or pain. And those types of conditions are usually the ones that respond the best to chiropractic, because we can find those little changes and, you know, make some small corrections with that, and, you know, you can get your horse back and be back on the trails and riding again.
I know the first time that I used a chiropractor, I was, and I ride Tennessee walking horses, so they have a little bit more of a elevated head when you're riding. Mm-hmm. Instead of carrying their head low, they carry their head a little bit higher, like maybe a Missouri Foxtrot or might, or a American Saddlebred or some of the gated breeds, and I couldn't get her to keep her head up. And then I noticed that when we tried to flex her to the right or to the left, you know, she couldn't bend her neck as far away as around to in one direction. And so we discovered that there was, you know, maybe something that was challenging there. And a friend of mine suggested that we call a chiropractor in, and that's exactly what it was. And it didn't take but a couple of treatments and a few exercises that he gave us, and she was just back to normal. She was just great then.
Well, that's wonderful, and that is a common experience that we hear from our clients as well, is that, again, you just notice some little changes like that, and horses are amazing, you know, especially the ones that are rode on a regular basis. They're typically fit and in good shape, and they respond so quickly to this type of care that, like you said, it might only take one, maybe two visits, and you've got your horse back. And then we give you some advice and directions on some things that you can do to maintain that correction and keep your horse healthy so that you don't have these recurrent problems. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, are there any more indications? Is there a more normal condition that a horse suffers from than others?
You know, I would say that two areas that we see problems with the most are at the pole area, so a horse that's not flexing or bending their head correctly. And, you know, sometimes we see it in Missouri. We see this very frequently in the springtime when the grass starts to grow. So we go winter, and horses are often fed on round bales, and then as the grass starts to grow, they'll start putting a head through a fence railing or underneath it, and they kind of got their neck wrenched and in an uncomfortable position. And next thing you know, the horse is really restricted and not moving as fluidly and fluently as they should because of a neck problem. So we often will see problems in the pole, so basically the base of the skull where it connects into the neck area. And some types of riding disciplines also put the horse in a position that can also aggravate that. So in a very collected type of gait, we can see some problems develop from that as well. But I would say probably the most frequent thing that we see is like a back end, so like a pelvic or a low back problem. So in the croup area, you know, that's the motor of the horse. So when we're asking our horses to, you know, carry us and go up hills, down hills, over different obstacles, whether you're a jumper, dressage rider, in a collected position, there's just a lot of stress that occurs at that kind of low back buttock area. And that's predominantly where we see most of our problems. And then from there, other issues can develop as the horse tries to compensate to avoid some discomfort in pain in that area, which could include, hock problems, stifle problems. And then moving forward as well, it could start to affect the rib cage area and all the way through the neck.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to give something away because we love to give things away on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And it is the season for giving. So let's take a moment to do that. And when we come back, Richard, I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about whether there are certain types of certain breeds of horse that you see more problems with, or whether there are certain disciplines that you might see more problems with. So a lot more to talk about when we come back to talk with Richard. But in the meantime, Tina May, tell us about our Legacy Club.
Our Legacy Club is our thank you to our listeners. It's free, and you're automatically enrolled in our free giveaways from our Legacy Club sponsors, like our end-of-the-year prize from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse. And today we are giving away a gift pack from Espana Silk Products. And our winner is Marilyn Pinata, or Pinetta, sorry, Marilyn, from Washington State. Congratulations, Marilyn.
All right. So Marilyn in Washington will be receiving a great gift pack from Espana All Natural Silk Products. And congratulations to her. And we want to remind folks that you still have time to visit our website and become a Legacy Club member. It's free. And you can do that by going to our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And so, again, congratulations to Marilyn, and thank you to Espana Silk All Natural Grooming Products for being our sponsor for that. Tina May, did you ever wonder what would happen if Santa was a cowboy?
Well, he is, isn't he?
Well, we're going to find out. So we're going to listen to a song by Sisters of the Silver Sage. It's called If Santa Was a Cowboy, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
And it has to wear a gun. If Santa was a cowboy, I bet he'd sing and yell a cattle song as we press along to the Christmas Day Corral. If Santa was a cowboy, he wouldn't need a sleigh. His horse would fly over mountains high to children far away. His pack is filled with treasure.
Cowboy, he'd be wearing a big red cowboy hat, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. A 10-gallon.
a 10-gallon hat. You know, I expect my grandchildren are going to be watching for Santa to come by, and I wouldn't be surprised if they saw him come on a white horse. So that's a pretty cool song, Sisters of the Silver Sage. But Richard wanted to pick back up where we left off, and do you see any particular breed of horse that has more problems?
You know, in my experience, I can't say that I've seen one particular breed more often than others. You know, we've had the great fortune to work with almost all breeds out there, and it's we've certainly seen the whole gamut of problems. I would say more that it's related to conformation rather than to a particular breed. So
okay.
You know, the more that that the horse has a good conformation, you know, legs are proportionate to the body, and the hocks look good, the stifle looks good. Those are the horses that seem to hold up better. All horses are pretty well, you know, they have the same working parts. They need to move a certain way. So when those horses have good conformation that don't produce the extra stress and strain on the joints and on the muscles, then those are the horses that really hold up the best. And same goes with different riding disciplines, that some are a little bit more strenuous. So if we look at, you know, somebody who does like a dressage where, you know, you're really in collected positions, it puts a lot of strain and stress on the hocks. That can create some problems. However, if and we really try to educate our clients on this, is that you can't just hop on your horse and you know, try to do some advanced moves or some very, you know, quick stop, start moves if your horse is not in shape. So we always encourage our owners to take the time, get your horse conditioned in shape for the type of riding that you're going to be doing. So, you know, don't, if you have a horse that you didn't ride all winter and spring's rolling around, don't just hop on the first day and go for a 4-hour, 5-hour trail ride. You know, work them
Amen.
Up to it. Just like us, you know, if we've been a little bit less active during the winter months, we need a little time to get in shape and in condition, and our horses are the same way. So we really need to look out for their health and well-being, and they'll in return give us the pleasure and joys that we want of companionship and riding and so forth.
Did you see more of the problems with horses in the maybe the early spring when their eating habits are changing and when maybe our riding habits start to change?
We definitely do. There certainly is a correlation with that. So, as you mentioned, you know, the springtime grass is growing, so a little richer, a little more sugars and carbohydrates in there. So that means a little bit more calories. So that can change some things as far as their metabolism and the build and conformation of the horse. And then again, you know, there's people that are just excited to get back and connect with their horse, and they want to get back to riding, and sometimes they don't think and go and do too much too soon, and that's where little injuries and problems can develop. So we always encourage our riders to, you know, even in the winter months or cool months, wherever you're located, or hot summer months if you don't like the cool months, you know, try to be consistent with your horse and spend time with them, keep them in shape and worked a little bit, and, you know, the returns will be great for you.
All right, now I wanted to say, and because you work on people too, I was going to ask a couple of questions about riders, and maybe as people start to get a little bit older, are there certain things that a person needs to do as they are getting ready to start getting back in the saddle again, or some challenges that they face maybe as they get to be a little bit older? And you know, I've had people say, you know, you really need to do a little loosening up exercise as a rider before you start to get on. Can you talk to us about that?
Definitely. I mean, that's great advice that, you know, I think that we need to look at ourselves as well, is that, you know, when we're on horseback, we're, you know, basically one unit. So We get some feedback from the horse, and the horse gets feedback from us. So it just makes for a much more enjoyable ride when both rider and horse are fit. So certainly we always encourage our owners and riders to, take the time to stretch, maintain your own flexibility. If you've got some aches and pains, try to address those, because the more balanced a rider is, the more the horse is going to respond and stay in tune with you. So if you have some back problems and it's uncomfortable to sit in the saddle for 30 minutes or more, or if you're in a particular discipline that puts more stress and strain on the low back, you might end up compensating, and your horse can feel that. And that's going to make them compensate and try to adjust to shift your weight and make things more easy for them to ride, and that puts more stress and strain on them. So, certainly if we, have not been active, we always encourage people to take some time to, start a short walking routine, take some time to stretch a little bit, especially with the legs. Your legs have to be flexible enough to mount a horse and be in that particular position without getting too sore or uncomfortable for the riding that you're going to be doing.
Well, now, I know that one of the things that that we're being challenged with in Missouri is that there are a lot of great food out on the trails, and Tina May has started put the food away. She started getting back in the saddle.
I gotta tell you the story. I went to this ride, and they made us fried shrimp and fried fish and all this out on the trail. And every time I'd take pictures, and I would call Gary, and I'd tell him about all the food and the great food that they had and everything. He has not let me live it down.
All
right.
I've still tried to resize that back end shot of you on your horse, and I can't get it to where it'll fit the Facebook page.
No.
I'm having trouble. But, again, as we go into the holiday season, there's a lot of great food that's out there everywhere we go. And, folks are kind of like the bear. We kind of start putting a little bit more away during the winter months and get ready to start to ride again. We may have put on a few pounds. I guess that could be a challenge for our horses, can it? And for ourselves.
And for ourselves, exactly. So, right. Certainly, like I said, when we're in saddle, we're one unit together. So the motion of the horse and the motion of the rider go hand in hand. And certainly if we've put on some of that winter weight that so often happens, that our horses respond to that as well. It might not be as comfortable for them. We may not fit in the saddle as well as we did at one point, and that can put different pressure points along the back of the horse, or maybe it's now we're sitting too far forward in the saddle and we're kind of pinching the wither area, so that can certainly affect their gait as well. And that extra weight, as our horses also age, there could be some arthritis developing in our horses, and the extra weight from the rider can cause additional stress and strain to those joints as well.
What
or
about
an saddle
fit?
Saddle.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about saddle fit?
Yeah. And that's something that we really try to take the time to look at. So especially if we see a lot of reactive muscles or sore areas along the back of the horse or in the wither area, we will definitely encourage the rider to get their saddle out. We'll have them put it on the horse's back, and we'll check the fit and make sure. More times than not that the saddle is adequate, but sometimes there are some suggestions that we can make that just might make it more comfortable for the horse. Not so much with our trail riding horses, but certainly our English riders, we have noticed that there's a great tendency for riders to put the saddle too far forward, and we don't see the horse have that good extension with the front legs and in the shoulder or wither area that is required for some of the work that they're doing. So that's always something that we look for in the horse. And there's some telltale signs that you can see. So if there's if the horse is acting a little girthy and not real happy, or if you notice some wet spots in other areas are dry underneath the saddle when you take the saddle off, that might be an indication that the saddle's just not fitting quite right. So that
okay.
And that goes a long way. So it is very important for the rider to investigate that.
All right. Well, Richard, you have been absolutely tremendous as far as the information that you've shared. We're going to have you back on the show and talk more about this if we can encourage you to do that in the future. Maybe as we start going back into the end of winter and early spring, some suggestions to help people get themselves and their horse ready to ride. But how can folks get in touch with you?
Well, two ways. We have an email address, which is kpanimalcairo, which is C-H-I-R-O, at yahoo.com. Or they can call Kelly directly, who's my wife. She does she handles all the questions and can help you out with all sorts of matters. And she can be reached at area code 314-378-3854. So either way, we'd be more than happy to hear from you and answer any questions that you might have and help you in any way we can.
All right. Well, I'd encourage people to do that. Kelly's got a Facebook page, and hint, hint, I think KMP Animal Cairo needs to have a Facebook page. So
yes, I could drive some people there.
That would be
all
cool.
Right. We will look into that then.
All right. But anyway, give us the email address again one more time.
kpanimalcairo, C-H-I-R-O, at yahoo.com.
All right. Well, so check out Dr. Richard and email them if you have questions or if you have any need of his services or even think that you might. And Richard, thanks for joining us. Wish you and Kelly and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, thank
Absolutely.
You. And thank you for having me, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners, and a Happy New Year as well.
All right. Thanks.
See you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. So great information from Dr. Richard Planzo. And we are getting ready to travel to the Big South Fork on the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee, where we'll be talking with Teresa Elam at Saddle Valley Campground. And again, you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Christmas comes with the snow of December, drifting down like an angel's sigh. The gray wolf song he remembers with his nose up against the sky. That's the song from the heart of a Christmas night. That's the song I love so well. For a king was born on that holy morn, on the day of the first Noel. There's a snowshoe trail through the pasture. It leads to a journey's end. There's a lamp hanging down from a rafter. It shines like a welcome friend. That's the song from the heart of a Christmas night. That's the song I love so well. For a king was born on that holy morn, on the day of the first Noel. Song from the heart of a Christmas night. That's
Guy Barsi's Heart of a Christmas Night, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio online, heard around the world at equestrianlegacy.net. And Teresa Elam, you are in the heart of trail riding country up in the Big South Fork. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to can be with you.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Tina. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Wonderful. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're glad to have
Absolutely.
You. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you decorated at Saddle Valley? Have you got anything going on up there for this Christmas season?
We are not right now. We're just going to do Christmas at home. We have a New Year's ride coming up in a week. That's all we got planned for the rest of this year.
All right. Well, we want to talk to you a little bit about how you and Ed got started there with Saddle Valley. So how did your ownership and your participation in Saddle Valley come about?
Well, we rode up here for many, many years and stayed at various places around Big South Fork. And we came and stayed at Big South Saddle Valley. And the lady that owned it was getting ready to sell it. And so we met up with her, and we talked to her, and we winded up buying it in the winter of 2002. And we moved up here that winter and got it all opened up in, like, March of that year. And we've been chucking along ever since.
Well, you've got a great place up there. I'm going to tell you, I had some folks on our Campfire Cafe show, I think it was about a couple of months ago, and they travel around the country. They travel throughout the Southeast. They travel back out west and kind of make it a thing to do a 4 or 6 week trip. And I asked them their favorite campground, and I think we had three folks that were on the show. Two of them said Saddle Valley Campground was their favorite.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool, but a lot of it has to do with the folks that own it and host people there. But tell us a little bit about your campground.
We're a smaller campground. We're situated right in the heart of Bryden. You can the campground sits on 5 acres. We've got 25 campsites with electric and water. We have 43 covered stalls. 8 paddocks and 4 corrals. We have a bathhouse with a pavilion enclosed attached to it, which we are planning on adding a kitchen there this year.
Oh, wow.
For people to do their laundry and come in and cook, and, you know, if it's raining or what have you. We are situated in between 2 trailheads. So we can cover 200-plus miles of trails very easily from where we are.
Wow, you can ride for a day or two there then, can't you?
You can. We do, we'll get into this ride later on, but we do a 4-day ride from here, from Saddle Valley. We go up into Stearns, Kentucky, and then we come back down along the river. That is a big 4-day ride. It covers 5 counties in 2 states.
Okay. You know, so for the folks that may not be familiar with the Big South Fork, the Big South Fork actually takes in area both in Kentucky and Tennessee. And do you know how many acres? Do you have any idea how many acres there are to the Big South Fork?
I don't right offhand, but I know it's upwards of 100,000 acres. It covers 5 counties and 2 states.
Wow.
So it's a very large area. If, you know, you're not into horseback riding, which some people bring people with them that are not, there's hiking, biking, just about any outdoor activity you could think of, you could do it here in Big South Fork.
Right. Well, I know Tina May wanted to ask you about the trails there, so I'm gonna let her pick up on that topic.
Okay.
No, absolutely. First of all, are you open all year?
We are. During the winter months, we do shut our bathhouse down, but our spigots along the outside, our faucets along the outside are still working. So you have water to your trailer or water to your horses.
All right, that's awesome because, you know, we still have those diehards that like that winter riding as well, and I'm one of them. So,
we do. We have a group coming up here next week, unless the weather is just, you know, rainy or something like that, they're coming.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, they got slickers out there, so they may
come
with the rain, too.
Oh, yeah, but let me tell you, get up here in the rain, it's still pretty cold.
Yes. Now, let's talk about the trails. Kind of tell our listeners, and keep in mind we have listeners that have never been in the South Fork or maybe never been in Tennessee, and tell them what the trails are like, the terrain, what's out there to see. And I know that, you know, the South Fork, that's one of my favorite areas to ride. It's huge. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the trails?
Okay, from our campground, you can go out several different directions. If you like, we have trails from very, very easy, which is a couple of hours, to all-day trail rides, which can be very strenuous. We have a lot of overlooks where we are, very convenient. If you like to do creek riding, you can go in and out of creeks all day long. You can go down to the river and ride around the river. We're about 3.5 hours from Cherry Creek Lodge, which is one of the oldest operational lodges in the park system itself. We can get there very easily. It is you can only ride there or hike there. We can go over into Bandy Creek, which is your main attraction into the park on this side of the river. It's got the visitor center there and a stable and trails that access out of there very easily. Then you get over into the north country, our trails get a little bit harder, less signed. You go up and down, you know, up and down hills and creeks and rivers and all that kind of thing.
Okay, so you have a ride.
Is the Cumberland Trailhead one of the main trailheads from your campground?
It is. It is a mile from our campground riding, and it accesses several different trails. You can go down on the O&W Railroad bed, which many people have heard about. You can go down to the bridge itself. If you're into that kind of thing, you can ride across it. Most people choose not to. It does have boards out and that kind of thing, but there are a lot of people that ride across the bridge and turn around and come back. You can ride the other way on the O&W and head over toward Proctor Ridge and Darrell Ridge and back this way. It makes a big, long loop. Or you can take out from Cumberland Valley Trailhead and head over to Bandy Creek, which is a very easy ride. I can go on and on. I'm getting half of off of them trails off the Cumberland Valley, you can access 1, 2, 3 overlooks.
Well, I want
that's
to... Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say that's one of the things I absolutely love at South Fork is there's so much different kinds of riding, and there's just so much riding, and there's many things to see. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I highly recommend folks to go there. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the terrain, you know, with the ground and everything. There's a lot of barefoot people out there, but that is one area that I personally would make sure I have shoes on my horse. So
I would too, but personally I know people that ride here that have horses that are barefooted and do fine. If your horse is used to it, they will do fine. But, you know, please understand that the terrain here, even though it is sandstone, it is still rocky. You know, there's lots of places here that are rocky. You're going in and out of creeks a lot, which, you know, has harder rock on it. So I think barefooted is a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
I have shoes on mine.
Well, we want to find out more about some of the different areas to ride in. I want to talk a little bit about Cherrick Creek and maybe some of the other riding destinations that people would find interesting. But I know that Tina May is a big kid at heart, and so we have a song right now that we're going to take a break and play for all the kids that are out there, including Tina May and I guess Teresa too. It's one called Jolly Old St. Nicholas. It's by Michael Martin Murphy and Waddy Mitchell. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacyradio.net.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you'll bring to me, tell me if you can.
I was going through my mom's junk drawer for something I needed bad, and I come across some sure enough treasures, things I didn't even know she had. It happened on this faded paper that made me stop and pause. It was a letter from a six-year-old boy to dear old Santa Claus. He started by telling old Santa how he'd been good all year and such. And the presents that he was asking for, well, they didn't amount to much. Because what he was really wanting, you see, more than a trinket or two, was to get old Santa, let him be a real-life buckaroo. He said he didn't know too much, but he was quick to learn, and it wouldn't matter where he throwed his bed or how much dough he'd earn, just so he could ride a horse and punch cows all his life. And when he growed up big like Dad, he'd want a cowboy wife. And that's when it really struck me, when the kid had signed his name, that the author and the reader of this letter was the same. So I sat and wrote a thank you note to Santa for the gift he'd give to a young boy in 1956 and the life he'd let me live.
Johnny wants a pair of spurs, Susie wants a sled, Nellie wants a picture book, yellow, blue, and red. Now I think I'll leave to you what to give the rest. Choose from me, dear Santa Claus. You will know the best.
Well, that's Michael Martin Murphy and Waddy Mitchell, Jolly Old St. Nicholas. And we want to remind folks that you can download our free mobile app at equestrianlegacy.net and listen to Equestrian Legacy Radio around the world on the go from anywhere. So we're back now, and we're going to talk some more with Teresa about some of the sights that you can see up at the Big South Fork. And you know, Teresa, one of the cool things about the Big South Fork is there's such a variety of flora and wildlife up there. I mean, you've got everything from rhododendron to just some things that you don't see in other parts of the state. But there's some great places to that are destinations in the Big South Fork, and Cherrick Creek is one of those. And we just touched on that for just a minute earlier, but tell us about Cherrick Creek Lodge.
Cherrick Creek Lodge is one of the oldest operational lodges in the National Park Service itself. There's only two ways you can get there. One is riding your horse or hiking. They will come in. They have warm cookies on the front porch with rocking chairs, and you sit back and have a nice evening by the rocking chairs. Then they serve you a nice hot dinner. Then you adjourn to the campfire and sit around there till bedtime. You know, go to bed. They have a shower house, and it's not no electricity down there. It's coal oil lights. If you're riding your horse, there's barns not very far from the lodge itself, so it's easy to take care of your horses. Matter of fact, in September, if we can touch on this, we do have a ride which is leaving out of Saddle Valley to Cherry Creek.
Okay.
That will be on the 19th of September. We will return on the 20th. That ride requires reservations in advance. And it will be deposit non-refundable.
Okay. Well, the lodge is really cool. I mean, that is actually an old homestead down there, isn't it?
It was a hunting lodge to begin with, and then it became a homestead for a couple of people during the years, and now it is a operational lodge.
Right. Well, one of the things I notice when I go down there and you walk in is I'm 6 feet. And, man, those ceilings and those doorways are pretty short. So,
correct.
Yeah, people just weren't quite as tall as they are today. But that thing's been there for, I guess over 100 years, hadn't it?
It was built in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'd have to look that up. I'm thinking in the 1880s.
Yeah, I mean it's quite a historic location to ride to, and I know a lot of folks like to just ride and make sure that they get there about lunchtime, and take their lunch down there and sit out on the porch and have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, that's about a 3.5 hour ride from Saddle Valley.
It is. It's 3 hours, 3.5 hours. You'll be sitting on the porch, with your horses in the barn. It's a very unique place. If you've never been and stayed, I would suggest, highly suggest that on anybody's ride, no matter where they go or stay, that make that on your, part of your ride.
Right, right. So whether you're staying overnight down there, whether you're just going to go down there and make it a destination during the day, it's a great place to do that. You were talking about the sandstone. And a lot of those trails are really sandy out there because of the fact that there's so much sandstone there and really not a lot of slipping on some of the rocky areas that are out there in the Big South Fork because of the sandstone. But also there's some pretty neat geological formations that people can ride to see, can't they?
Some of your arches, you can only ride to a short distance to them, and then you have to walk the rest of the way. But, yes, we have some of the most beautiful sandstone arches in the world. We have twin arches. You can hike, you can ride your horse partway there, and then I think it's about a half a mile hike.
Right.
And you can access that from Cherry Creek also. You can leave your horses there at the bottom of the hill and walk up. That way, you have a safe place for your horses.
Right.
We just have so many overlooks and sandstone. We have twin arches. We have natural arches. We have natural bridges, which is out of this world. When you're walking across the bridge and you're looking down, like, whoa,
Well, that's true. I mean, I've been to some of those. I didn't say oh whoa, but it was pretty impressive.
And I gotta comment what you said.
No, we won't say what I said, but the park has done a great job too, because a lot of those places that you have to walk to, they've done a good job of putting hitching posts out there, so you can actually have a spot to tie your horse up and then walk on down to the overlooks or to the arches. There's another part of the park where there's some kind of a great cavern. I forgot what they call that. Kind of a cave.
We have Heapy Cave, and let's see, we have Hole in the Ridge, which is very neat. The Indians actually stayed in this place called Hole in the Ridge, and they formed a hole in the cavern to let the smoke out. So there's a hole right in the middle of this cavern. You can ride there from here. That's a good ride. Over in that area, the trails are a little more challenging. There's some hills that are pretty steep.
Well, as you're riding through the park, too, you'll see some areas where there were some old homesteads and what's left of some of the old cabins. A lot of old cemeteries that are throughout the park, because people really got in and settled into that area, and there was a lot of mining history there, wasn't there?
Yes, it was. There has been a lot of logging and coal mining. They mine saltpeter in here. As a matter of fact, Blue Heron, which is a unique place to go in itself, because they had, that's where a lot of your mining went on from the station camp crossing on up to Kentucky, because they would run the logs down the river. And the coal mines were up in Kentucky. Some of the coal mines are still actually there. You know, the family has opened them back up to where you can see them.
Right.
If you're into a day of, like, just, you know, auto touring, that would be a good day auto touring just over in the Kentucky area.
Well, and they have a train ride, too, don't they, that you can take?
They
do. Is that from Blue Heron? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it goes around up into the coal mine, which is a mock coal mine now. They have the teepel, and they still have a lot of the integrity itself of what went on in that time period.
Well, and in addition to things like that, and we were talking about maybe some other things people can do, there's fishing, there's rafting, there's canoeing. Historic Rugby, which was an old English settlement, is not that far away from where you are. And so a lot of places that are a nice little day trip to go and visit if you want to do that. And then I think one of the big events that, is it in the spring of the year that they have that big long yard sale that goes back up through?
That is the first week of August, and it's the 127 yard sale that runs all the way through up through Georgia into way up into Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a very large yard sale. It goes several different states.
I mean, it's just pretty amazing. I mean, it's just a continuous yard sale from everything for the horse lover and antique shoppers and whatever that you're looking for, you can find in that yard sale. It is a big, big deal, and I don't know how many years it's been going on, but it's a long, long time. And
it seems to be growing every year.
Yeah.
Now, does it last all week long, or is it just a couple weekends?
It's just like from Thursday to Monday, but if you get up here a week ahead of time, people set up, you know, smaller yard sales throughout it, you know, earlier in the week, so you can have a first chance if you're just rolling through, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and you know, if people are coming from Tennessee, I guess I-40 is the main artery for them to get up to the Big South Fork and then get off at 127, what, from Crossville?
You can do that a couple of different ways. You can take I-40 to exit 301 and come through Monterey down to Clark Range and to 127, Or you can go on up into Crossville and get off at exit 317 and just take 127 north the whole way.
So there are a lot of easy ways to get there. Usually when I come in, I'm coming from the Nashville direction. I usually will get off in Monterey, and it's a beautiful drive back up through there. And always try to detour and go over to Muddy Pond and visit the Amish community there and bring back some of that homemade sorghum. So it's just a cool, cool area and part of the country to go up and visit. And Ed and Teresa are just super, super people, very hospitable. The campground is great, easy to get to the major trailheads from there. And Teresa, tell us how we can find you on the website.
You can reach me at www.saddlevalleycampground.com. We have a Facebook page. Or you can contact me directly, and my number is 931-879-6262. And like I said, I'm all over Facebook, and we have a good web page if you'd like to go on there and look and, you know, read a little bit more about us personally and how our deal's set up and our rides, our schedules are on there. We've already posted next year's schedule, which we have lots of events coming up.
Well, tell us about
really
a few of those.
About.
Yeah, tell us, because you mentioned you've got your New Year's ride. Tell us a little bit about that, and then maybe some of the upcoming rides the first part of the year.
We have a New Year's ride coming up next week, which this will be a day ride in and out of the campground. And Easter weekend, we will have Dawn from Rockin' Seven Ministries will be holding our service for our cowboy church. We have lots of events planned that weekend. We have a Mother's Day ride, which is a girls-only ride. We have a Kentucky Derby party scheduled. We have the Cherry Creek Lodge scheduled. We have a four-day ride, scavenger hunt, and we always have an awesome Halloween party.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I can see Tina May's mind working right now. She's trying to figure out when she's going to be Saddle Valley.
I'm thinking of that October ride in that Carrot Creek.
Said, you know, everything is posted on our website, so if anybody would like to go on there and look or contact me directly, we'll try to help you out as best we can.
All right, and you know, you mentioned Dawn from Rocking Seven Ministries. They are in need of some support to help get some hay up there for the horses at her place. She has a free ministry that she does with people, and there's also a horse rescue that is just on the Tennessee-North Carolina line, and they're in need of some hay. So I think they have found some. But it's about 360 miles away, so they've got to get it up there. And
yes, I do believe my brother-in-law, Doug Elam, has donated her some hay. I think they took her a few bales up there about a week ago.
Great.
Just to kind of tide her over a little bit. But, you know, she's in dire need, so, and she's a wonderful person. So please, anybody, if you got any extra hay, please let her have it.
Yeah, yeah. So you can go to her Facebook page, Dawn Rocking Seven. I think it's Rocking 777 Ministries on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can, you know, if you can help out in any way, they're looking for a way to transport some hay that they have secured, but they could use a little help with that too. So I'm glad you mentioned her, and I just gotten a message from her earlier this morning, and she was excited about. She was excited about that hay that they had secured. So they just need to get it up there now. So if you can help out, go visit there. And, Teresa, anything else that you want to mention about Saddle Valley Campground before we're gone?
No, I think we covered it all. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and hope to see everybody in the spring, and hope the fuel prices stay down where we can do lots of trail rides.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen to that.
Well, listen,
God bless everybody, and have a Happy New Year.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and Ed, and look forward to seeing you guys up in the Big South Fork at Saddle Valley. So thanks so much
for
joining us today.
Thanks for having us, and I hope y'all come to see us soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Teresa.
All
All right, bye-bye. So a lot of fun talking with Richard today and talking with Teresa at Saddle Valley. And, you know, Tina May, there are some really talented people that we meet through our trail riding and through our programs. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be going to Circle E Guest Ranch to host the second annual Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation National Trail Ride. And that's going to be June 4th through the 6th, and that's we're sponsoring that. So Equestrian Legacy Radio's National Trail Ride to benefit the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. We're going to have Templeton Thompson and the Sawdust Brothers and Michael Martin Murphy. The Extreme Cowboy Association National Championships will be held in conjunction with our event this year, and a lot of great trail riding there. But the young lady that manages that place is Christine Mortensen. And Christine not only is a great young lady and a very hospitable hostess, but she's a great writer. And so right now we want to play a Christmas song that she's written, and it's called Christmas Day Stranger. And when we come back, we'll visit a little bit more with Tina May, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Mortensen's Christmas Day Stranger. And again, we'll be at Circle E Guest Ranch the first weekend in June to raise money to help children with brittle bone disease. And you can find out more about the National Trail Ride at our website, equestrianlegacy.net. And Tina May, this is our last show before Christmas with Saddle Up mm-hmm. America. So, yeah, any thoughts that you want to share with folks out there about the Christmas holiday?
Absolutely. Just remember the reason for this season. Christmas is in the heart. It's not found under a tree. And I want to mention a quote from Dr. Seuss. It came without ribbons, came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
I want to wish all our listeners a very blessed and Merry Christmas.
All right. Well, I will second that and a great thought from Dr. Seuss. And we'll be back with our New Year wrap-up show on Saddle Up America next Tuesday at noon Central Time. And who do we have joining us then?
Ooh, I'm excited. Next week we have a special guest, Doc Mishler, a long rider with a mission and a story to be told. Then we travel to Portland, Tennessee, and talk with C.B. and Bridget Bradshaw, owners of Honey Creek Horse Camp.
All right. So, and Honey Creek is actually up in the Big South Fork, so we'll be talking about
it. It is.
Yeah, two weeks in a row at the Big South Fork, but so much to talk about what to see and do there and the great campgrounds that they have. And then this Thursday, we'll be here for Christmas. So join us at noon on Christmas Day, and we'll be sharing Christmas memories and some great Christmas music around the Campfire Cafe. And then on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, her special guest is me. And so...
Ta-da!
Ta-da! But we're going to talk about how Blessed Trails came about, and I think you'll find that to be an interesting story. And then we'll share some great music and be talking with Belinda Gale on that show. So a lot of great programming coming up, and we'll be celebrating the end of the year and the beginning of a brand new year on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we thank you for joining us. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Merry Christmas, and we'll close this out with Kip Callahan and the meaning of Christmas. Merry Christmas, Tina May.
Merry Christmas, Gary.
The lights are strung, the stockings hung, presents under the tree. A child's heart is full of hope of what Santa might bring to me. A Christmas list, a child's wish, greetings to one and all. A house full of homemade treats when loved ones come to call. But do they know the meaning of Christmas? That Christ was born in the town of snowflakes touch the ground.